Have you ever wanted to play in a campaign similar to the Noctprone Dead Season where you are in a realm filled with spirits? If yes, then I have the perfect product for you. Explore the realm beyond the veil with the Book of Spirits, an ethereal 5e supplement on Kickstarter now. This supplement is inspired by legendary titles like Dragon Age and Stormlight Archive. The Book of Spirits is a sourcebook that expands your world with a new realm of magic. With over 50 spirit creatures, 7 brand new subclasses, an entirely new class, and tons of encounters and resources for you to run a game in the spirit realm. Follow the link in the episode description where you can find this 200 plus page book with illustrated encounter maps, incredibly detailed miniatures, and an entire original soundtrack to immerse your players in this mystical adventure. Back the Book of Spirits today on Kickstarter.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Knocked Prone is a clean, chaotic, and deep podcast for D&D nerds. Find more ways to support our show in the episode description. Last time on Knocked Prone.
If we're a team, that we act like it. If we are going to go along, we consider everyone's needs.
Your search for your mother has gone. You haven't made any progress whatsoever. I understand. I didn't see it before, and that makes me a bad friend. But I'll be a better friend going forward.
Two dwarves walk in, and you recognize them to be two people that you actually went to dwarven high school with.
You can see in this moment the persona has faded, and he seems to be shrinking.
Grom, we don't have to go with them. I don't know anything about these guys, but I don't trust them.
Vladrick throws his foot in front of Grom to trip Grom into the next room. Gutrug lays cold and lifeless on a little mannequin. There is an actual set of mithril armor that says Iron Fist on the back of that.
Whether you're a halfling, a giant, or somewhere in between,
on the table with your friends, playing Dungeons and Dragons,
and
if life ever knocks you down, your dice will surely turn around. It's time to quest. Let's put your characters to the test.
My name is Cade, and I'm the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure, and I'm joined here by the players to my left.
Alec playing Zag.
Mason playing Grom.
Marissa playing Ephemia.
And Brooklyn playing Celine.
You guys are walking on your way back through the Underdark, back to the mineshaft elevator to meet back up with Grom and Celine in Rigaroon City.
Ephemia, can I talk to you about something?
I suppose. About what?
I'm feeling a little bit guilty about how everything went down recently, and I think I have a way, maybe, I don't know, to make things right.
I'm a little worried about your ideas, but let's hear it.
I think I need to get to a Church of the Ten.
What's in a church?
I need to be able to try and contact Thorn.
Can our rune phones potentially contact gods?
Yes, they can.
Oh, okay.
But there are other ways to contact gods, right? Like, that's not the only way.
It is a accessible way, though. More accessible than the hour travel up to the Church of the Ten. So potentially, if you'd like to use your rune crystal phone to contact Thorn, that is very available.
Zag, if you want to call your brother, since, you know, I suppose he's a god, finger quotes, you realize the rune phones can also have the potential to contact gods.
Oh, I broke mine. Do you still have yours?
Yeah, I didn't break mine. I guess I still have it. And Ephemia's gonna just fumble in her bag a little bit and pull it out.
Do we want to use that? Are we worried about Afani hearing us? Or should I just try it, see what happens?
I feel like they're gonna hear us wherever we go.
You're
right. I really don't know that there is a safe space, including a church.
You have a good point. Okay, I'll try it.
And Zag's gonna take the rune crystal phone and, I guess, attempt to contact Thorn.
What is your religion score?
You'd think a cleric is going to have a higher one than I'm going to have. Just gonna let
you guys know. Based off of intelligence,
negative
enough,
one. Yeah. Oh. Negative one. Okay, so the minimum you can have for this is a zero. So I'm going to let you roll a D100 one single time.
One single time? Oh my gosh, the pressure. 77.
77. Okay. As you put this phone up to your face and just kind of like think about your brother and trying to contact Thorn, your face almost astral projects this force outside of it. It almost looks like the Dementors in Harry Potter sucking the life force out of you.
Okay.
And you are sucked into another plane. This plane, as you open your eyes, you are transported to this graveyard. Gray skies for as far as the eye can see, and there are billions of gravestones. Aphemia, you notice the same landscape that you were also in. It seems that somehow you were jumbled into this transportation.
Oh, where are we? What is this place?
I thought that was supposed to be just a phone call.
I know people think I'm the smart one, but I think you might be smarter than me. You need to figure this out.
Did you say you were the smart... Okay, anyways. I suppose we can look around. Should we dial back? Like, how do we get back?
As we look around, what do we see other than what you've already told us?
As you are looking at these gravestones, you see ancient names that seem to predate your own lifetimes. As you are looking at these gravestones, Aphemia, it sparks something inside of your brain. Aphemia, go ahead and roll me a history check or religion check, whatever your choice is.
Unnatural 20.
Unnatural 20. Ooh. All right. You are looking over the names on these tombstones. You recognize one to be Lulf. On these tombstones are names of gods that have passed.
What names am I seeing? You said Lulf, but are there like any more that would stick out to me?
You see the names Kelimvor, Mask. You see the name Mistra.
I think we're in some sort of graveyard for the gods. You see right there, that's Loth's gravestone.
I saw Loth die.
You saw Loth die?
In my vision. Zag's gonna call out. Thorn, can you hear me?
Thorn appears in front of you. His existence almost explodes into your vision, and he says, Zag! It is so good to see you, and I see you brought a friend.
Zach's gonna be almost in disbelief. I mean, is this Thorn, like twin brother, almost identical?
Entirely identical. What does he look like? He has long black hair, olive skin, emerald green eyes. He's the exact same height as you are, and interestingly enough, dressed similarly to you.
Is his, like, persona, like, is he standing near us? Like,
he's standing right next to you, right in front of you.
Zag's gonna run right up close to him, almost too close, and get right up to his face and, like, just look at it, like, almost trying to, like, understand or see, like, trying to take it all in, almost like a little kid would.
Oh, good. I was hoping that we would be identical twins. If we were fraternal, this would be a little more complicated.
This is so weird. Zag's going to try and move his hands around to see if it's like a mirror, if Thorn's going to move them too.
Thorn will smile and start trying to mimic your hand movements in order to look like you're a mirror.
And Aphemia's just kind of staring.
There are two of them.
And worried.
I've been looking for you for so long.
Oh, I'm so glad that you found me and that you did me such a favor. It was prophesied that I would ascend. I knew not how. The prophecy talked about two sides of the same coin coming together, and I knew not what it meant until you called upon me, and then I prophesied that this would come true, and so it did.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to meet you. I have so many questions, but before I get into any of that, how long do we have together? How long can I talk to you?
My godly visage will keep you here as long as I would like you to be here.
You would never get rid of me, right?
That is remain to be seen. Uh-huh. And he punches you, like, jokingly in the shoulder.
Zag's gonna turn back to Aphemia. Little tiny tears. I have a brother.
Aphemia just gives him a soft pat on the back and goes, there, yes. We got business, buddy. Come on.
Okay. Yes, okay. What might okay. I do for you?
He's gonna shake it out. Okay, Thorn, I need to talk. We need to talk.
Okay.
Like I said, I have so many questions, but before we get into any of that, by bestowing godhood to you, I inadvertently hurt my friend here.
Right.
She is in a pact with Orcus, and from what I understand, he owns your soul, right, Ephemia?
Yes, yes, he does.
And he owns or is in pacts with other friends of mine, like the Bodega and other people, and what can you do to help me get her out?
Of course I could help you break this pact. It wouldn't be as simple as just snapping my fingers. I am a god, but I am just coming to know my powers.
Yeah, how is that, by the way?
Well, Ephemia, do you mind if I have a moment alone with my brother?
Okay. And she just turns around and walks away.
He makes a little pocket dimension for you to hang out in. It has all of your favorite things.
Bacon.
Bacon, as far as the eye can see. Rocks.
Bacon and silence.
Yeah, she's occupied.
Yeah, you're in a fun zone right now. I'm so glad to finally get to a chance to meet you, Zag. I would love to help your friend out, but now that I have ascended, like I told you, I am the reincarnation of a person, one of our ancestors named Amalek.
I've heard about him.
You might have noticed that your magic seemed evil.
Yeah, it definitely isn't as pretty as I think I would like it to be, but it works.
Before I continue, tell me about Kaelin. You mentioned him earlier and how he is fragmented. Can you explain a little more to what that means?
The reason I decided to put you in this position and put so much faith in you is because I don't know how much you know, but when we were young, our uncle Kaelin separated from our mother and took me to raise me in hiding. And to do so, he sold fractions of his soul to a number of people. I don't have any idea how many for sanctuary to keep me safe from our father. And I made contact with him and found that he was in Shadowfell and he was in anguish and torment and pain. And I owe him everything and all I want to do is help him. But before I can do that, I need to help my friend.
Well, that can be accomplished in a number of ways. Zag, like you said, Kaelin broke his soul up into different parts. And I believe we are one soul who upon birth were broken up into these two parts. And together, I think we could be a force that would be unstoppable to anyone who would seek to harm us. You see, when you were born, you were gifted these magical powers that I was only told about through tales that our family, our bloodline, possessed. However, I had to strive to find power through others. Are you familiar with the goddess Lolth?
I've heard about her too.
Yes, well,
I don't read a lot, but I hear a lot.
Yes, good, good. The goddess Lolth, I was taught by a higher being how to take power from those who wouldn't give it to me otherwise. And so, instead of contacting Lolth and making some pact, like your friend did.
That didn't go well.
It didn't go well.
No.
Exactly.
No.
So instead of making some pact with some deity who didn't have my best interest in mind, I took the power from her. This heavily weakened her. I was able to have mass amounts of arcane power. However, I believe that I might have had a little bit of something to do with her downfall to Orcus. For Orcus was a higher demon, but he was not a god.
Mm-hmm.
And he being able to take out Lolth so easily may have been because I stole power from her.
If Lolth was evil, I mean, if you're taking power from those who would hurt others with it, I guess that makes sense. That's for the greater good, right?
For the greater good. I love that you say that. For the greater good is exactly what I was hoping for, Zag. You and me together, you as my worshiper, can make a difference in this world. You mentioned our father. Our father has not only been chasing you, but has been chasing me throughout my entire life. I was underground as the prophet of the people's god in Greyhaven, and our father sent men that were relentless and sent me into hiding from not only Ascended Corp, but also from Yorland Bane, our father. I think, Zag, that together we could potentially take Yorland Bane out of the throne as he seems to harm other people and put someone as significant as you into that position of power.
I don't know if I'm right for that.
We don't have to decide right now.
You want me to worship you?
I do. I actually don't want you to worship you. I demand that you worship me.
Demand?
Well, you see, your power was coming from Amalek before, our ancestor. I am Amalek reborn. Your power comes from me.
Well, okay, I guess. What does that mean? What do I do?
With your new servitude towards me, you will have access to a different set of spells. You will no longer be as peaceful as you once were, but you will keep the peace for the greater good.
That sounds okay to me. Okay, I guess I serve you now. But before I pledge my servitude fully to you, I do have some questions and some things I'm hoping you can do for me. What can you do for Ephemia and her pact with Orcus?
I am a god of the ten. I can surely get her pact broken with Orcus and then establish a new bond with one of the other gods of the ten for her power supplier.
Okay, that sounds great. Can you, in the process, help the Dega brothers as well? Because one of them also made a pact with Orcus.
I will make sure that all those who are pacted to Orcus no longer have to suffer.
You're the best, brother. Are you the big brother or am I?
I think only time will tell.
Okay. It's probably you. You're a god now.
Your servitude would mean the world to me. But I want to make sure that this is as fair of a deal as for you as possible. I want to help you with my godly powers to restore Uncle Kalen.
The reason that I chose you, and it's much to my friend's disappointment, honestly, was for that reason. It's because I want to restore him. I want to help him out of his torment. What can we do?
He pauses. I think I can help you find where Kalen's soul stones are. And all it will require from you is one memory.
Okay.
And he peers into the distance and his eyes glaze over. And you see like that astral projection that you had. That happens with him. And then the power shifts and you feel kind of numbness in your brain as you can tell that your brother Thorn is tapping into your memories. Comes back into existence and he says, I found them. I found all of the four remaining of the six.
Four, okay.
Yes. The locations and owners of Kalen's soul stones are as follows. There's a white dragon named Granny D in One Man's Waste Landfill. There's a water Ganassi named River in Thrycreen Canyon. There's a Bullywog CEO named Da Big Bonito. in Bullywog Bog. And there's a Rakshasa who governs over the kobolds and goblins in Draco Goblin Jungle named Litzy.
Oh, you did not. We're going to take down Litzy in this way.
Is also who my soul is pledged to right now.
Uh-huh.
She has my soul contract.
Yep.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Okay, so there's four left. What do I need to do to get them or to restore them? I don't know. What do I need to do next?
Well, Kalen gave them in bargains. You could either bargain for them back. You could take them back with force. You could stealthily take them. It's really up to you. All it needs is for you to obtain these soul stones, bring them together, and I will help you morph them into one being.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
Of course. Now, should we bring your friend back? What was her name?
No, she wants to stay there.
Okay. Zach is going to pick up on that. Even though you didn't say it, you say, she's probably happy where she is. I do have one last question, though. She's been looking for her mother. Yes. And with your new powers, which, again, I kind of gave you.
Yes.
Where is she?
His eyes glaze over once again. He winces and looks like he's having just a major migraine. And he says, Ephemia's mother is shrouded in some arcane darkness that seems to be lost to time itself. Whoever is holding Aphemia's mother does not want us to find her.
Can you help me find her?
I can try as hard as I might. I will be here trying. And as you continue to serve me, and I will help Aphemia find a new patron, and in the process, help her find her mother.
Okay, so you've told me how to help Kaelin. You've promised me that you would get Aphemia and anybody else in Orcus's packs out of them, and you're going to help me find Aphemia's mother.
Precisely.
Okay. Zag's gonna, first of all, give his brother a super fast, like, hug.
Yeah, he gives you one back.
Super big hug. Just so excited to finally have found him.
You feel magical energy twinkling over you as you give him this hug. And as you exit your hug, you look exactly like him. You have the same outfit on and everything. Oh. And he says, perfect. Now, let's get Aphemia back here. And he snaps his fingers. Aphemia, you appear back. And he says, Aphemia, I will need one favor from you really quickly.
Who are you?
Hi, I am Thorn.
This is Thorn, my brother.
Okay, so you are Zag.
We are the same soul separated.
Yeah, I'm Zag.
I'm Thorn.
Okay, then. Why are you dressed the same?
Oh, well, we're going to play a trick. It's going to be really...
Wait,
elven tradition.
A game?
A prank.
Okay.
How do you know about the elven tradition of pranking?
I studied my entire life to be a devout elven follower like my mother, and I tried to tap into the magic of the elves, and pranking was the only thing that I sought that brought me any connection with my elven lineage.
Okay, well, would you mind telling me your plan? And I just want to note, like, her bag looks a little heavier now because she filled it with rocks and bacon. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, you could add, like, 30 more rations and, like, 20 more rocks into your collection if you want.
She just went in that happy room and shoved them in there.
Well, what I think we should do, I think we should summon... Okay, this is going to sound crazy, but I'm in control here, right? I'm in control of this realm. I think we should summon Orcus into this realm, and then we could trick him into thinking that I'm Zag, just for a second.
Would he fall for that?
Oh, Orcus.
Oh my gosh.
He doesn't have a very big intelligence modifier.
Aphemia, he said he's going to help you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And he explains everything that he explained to Zag about the deal and helping you find your mother and finding you a new pact patron and helping you get out of your deal with Orcus.
Aphemia is suspicious because, like, she just met this dude briefly for a few minutes, obviously, so far. And she's heard a lot about him, but obviously even Zag couldn't provide a lot of information. So she's going to kind of narrow her eyes and just go, oh, so what do you get out of helping me?
I gain the servitude of Zag, a follower. And I get the knowledge of knowing that I helped someone free from their contract from an evil demon Orcus. You see, I don't believe something should tie you to a deity or demon that is so binding that you can't escape. I don't want something like that to define anybody. I think that it should be a little more up to free will, up to choice, whether or not you are to be binded with somebody. And seeing that Orcus has you in such a predicament, I think it's only right that I help you.
You see, everything that I asked him to do, he's going to help me with. And I'm going to willingly serve him. I'm not bound to anything.
You said it's willing.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? Look at him. He's adorable.
Can I do a perception check?
Yeah, roll me an insight check.
Yeah, I got a nat one.
Oh, no. I mean, it's hard to tell. Either way, you can't tell whether you trust him. You can't tell whether you don't trust him. He might be the most trustworthy and the least trustworthy person you've ever met.
I really helped myself there. Okay, so Aphemia is still on the fence, but she goes, okay, and can you at least tell me about this plan before you just call Orcus in here and he causes a ruckus?
So we will call Orcus in here. Yeah. We will trick him into thinking that I am Zag. Actually, I had it backwards. I will convince him that I am Zag, And maybe I'll say something like, I've changed my mind on who's going to be the new god of the ten. And kind of give him like a little razz. He has no power here. This is my plane. And then obviously I will commence a way for him to break the pact with you as well as all of his other patrons. And then that'll be it. And then we'll send him on his merry way.
And you promise he has no power here?
Zero power.
So basically we get to prank Orcus, who we don't like. And you get out of your pact.
Precisely.
What happens when he leaves here and he has his power back?
Oh, I don't think that will be an issue. I promise.
Let's go. Go, okay, Thorne, go!
Okay.
Oh, wait, I did have one last question, though.
Mm-hmm.
What? Do you remember anything of our mother?
As you say that, he says, wake up, brother. We will talk again very soon. I'm going to need you to make me a wisdom saving throw.
That is not what I expected. 18.
With an 18... You don't wake up. You stay with Thorne, and he says, interesting. It seems that your soul would like to stay. Would you like to stay? Maybe in a cozy little alternate plane like I made for Aphemia.
Absolutely.
Am I still here?
You didn't answer my question, but let's do the prank first, and we'll talk about it later.
Well, yes, we'll talk later.
Okay, let's go.
What just happened?
Nothing. Just a little brotherly razz, mind you.
I have a brother.
You met... like 15 minutes ago and you're already razzing? Okay.
Thorne touches you on the shoulder, Zag, and says, like I said, brother, we will talk very soon. And you are transported into your own alternate dimension with all of your favorite things. Aphemia, as you are alone with Thorne, he says, now, let us summon Orcus. And he looks at you expectingly.
Okay, I haven't exactly tried this before. Usually he calls me. She just closes her eyes. Calls Orcus.
Orcus, I've changed my mind,
Thorne says, appearing to be Zag. And then Orcus appears in front of you, these huge leathery bat wings and this ox skull on his head, and he's this giant being standing in front of you.
Aphemia, I hoped that I would hear from you before these 24 hours were up. Have you changed your mind?
I told you I would contact you as such, and obviously I brought Zag here.
As you say, Zag, Thorne is going to transform out of his disguise as Zag and take on the composure of the radiantly glowing deity that is Thorne. And he smiles wryly at Orcus and says,
you are trapped here, and though, Orcus, I do appreciate you teaching me how to steal power from Lolth all those years ago, it seems that your plans have been foiled. What I saw when I first became a god of the Ten, I was transported here into this graveyard for old gods. And lucky for me, your influence, Orcus, over my brother seemed to be lesser than what you would have hoped for. Our deal is done. I am above you. And you will bow before me now.
And he looks at you, Aphemia, and he says,
Aphemia, our pact with Orcus will be no more.
He gestures underneath him, and you see 9 open dirt graves. And he says,
before me lie 9 freshly dug and empty graves. You see, now with my deity's mind, I can clearly see that you are using me as a pawn to siphon Lolth's power. And once she was weak enough, you were planning to kill her for your own personal gain. With me stealing your rightful place as one of the gods of the Ten, you hold some malice against me. And I do not take kindly to those who plot my demise. So, great god killer that is Orcus, today is the day that the hunter becomes the hunted. And lucky for me, you and I are the only 2 living beings with the knowledge of how to kill a god. Yet, that is a secret I would rather be the only one to hold. For you see, Orcus, I told you I saw 9 freshly dug graves upon arriving to my new plane of godhood. And what were above the names of the gravestones? All 9 of the remaining gods of the 10. Unfortunately for you, Orcus, you didn't make the cut.
And he's going to point his finger towards Orcus's heart, and Orcus's body fractures into 6 separate pieces and breaks like a pane of glass. And Thorn is going to wave his hands above his head and condense these 6 pieces of Orcus down into small stones, similar to the stones that Zag has for Kaelin's soul stones, until there are only these 6 small stones remaining in Orcus's hands. And Thorn is going to take one of the stones into his hand and toss it at you, Euphemia, and he says,
"As long as Orcus is in pieces, he shouldn't bother you any longer. Now go forth and take the blessing from the goddess Temora, like I took from the goddess Lulth, and become a fully realized warlock of the tarot."
And you're going to wake up.
Dude! I was not expecting that. Do I still have the rock when I wake up?
You still have the rock in your hand. It is, so Zag's soul stone is blue and shimmering. This is black and opaque. And it has like tinges of red, almost like blood, covering it. A fancy stone to add to your collection.
So, that's a pretty cool stone.
I'm just floored right now, dude.
Does Zag wake up as well then?
Zag, as this ritual ends, Thorn calls you back into his plane of existence and says, "I think you'll be very happy when you wake up. Our deal has commenced. Euphemia is no longer bound to Orcus, and I believe that her power will remain and grow more than it ever has before. And as far as Mother, I don't recall."
"Okay."
"I was taken after she died. A group of the worshippers of the god Amalek took me. And though he was not a very loved god, or even a very worshipped god, people worshipped him and said that he was wrongfully killed. And they knew that I came from Mother's timeline, and I was prophesied about. They told me that I was to take his place as the next god of the Ten. And I had no idea that this is how it would have come to fruition."
"And you did."
"And I did, thanks to you, Zag."
Zag's gonna go down to a knee, and he's gonna say, "Brother, I love you. And I serve you."
"And I love you, Zag. And as long as we are two sides of the same coin, your power shall prosper." And Zag, you are going to now take the Leech Domain Cleric subclass as you wake up.
Ooh, ooh.
So we have 2 subclass changes as you guys wake up from this dream. Euphemia, as you wake up from this dream, your tarot cards are grasped firmly in your hands, and they are hot with a new branding of Timora.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
On the side of them. We're going to go over to Celine and Grom. You guys have just defeated Gutrug and his goonies, and you, Grom, are placing this mithril armor on.
"Look, Celine, they weren't lying. They had armor."
And I'll start putting on like the gauntlets and different stuff like that.
Knowing I'm not going to be able to change his individual grown adult opinion, I'm just going to let him do what he's doing, even though I have a lot of concerns about this armor. Instead, I'm going to focus in on Gutrug, and I'm just going to like kneel down next to him and like grab him by his shirt. "Look, I feel confident that you're here because of the Senate Court, but I need you to confirm it. Is that who sent you here?"
"Yeah, Ascended Corp sent us here. They paid us. They said that Grom was coming into town and that we could have revenge on him. And they just paid us to basically beat him up. Okay? I don't know a lot. That they just gave me a lot of money. And things haven't been great since I've been out of high school. There's no more football teams outside of high school."
"Did you hear that? They have a lot of money. I need that."
"Well, it sounds like they were going to have money, but they failed, didn't they?
No, we'll give you what they gave us. They gave us some upfront. You could take it.
Oh, there you go, Grom."
"Thank you."
Roll me a D100, Grom.
Ooh.
This could be nice.
Ooh.
57.
You gain 11,400 Badland credits.
Goodness.
From the three dead bodies and from Gutrug's person.
11,000 or 1,100?
11,000. 1,1,4... Zero, zero.
Dude, you well, could buy so many hammers.
No, you can so. Almost buy your mom, but not quite.
Yeah,
no. And he's like, this is all we got. I'm so sorry.
Well, well, well. If this was the amount that you were paid, you must have been trying your hardest. Well, that's sad.
Well, we were trying our hardest. But also, like, they really wanted us to keep Grom busy because they moved up his fight and it's coming up tomorrow.
What?
They wanted us to keep you in Briggeroon as long as we could so that you'd miss the fight and that you wouldn't be able to continue in the punch bowl anymore. But I failed, and I'm sorry, and I thought I could beat you, but I didn't expect you to bring a friend along, and you're tougher than you seem.
Ascended Corp did this?
Yeah, yeah, of course they did.
Avani.
Avani. Yeah, she's the one who gave me the money personally. She gave me this note, too. And you see a note that says, Heart-Avani.
Oh, you didn't.
You'll see Grom just kind of staring off for a bit, and you can see the gears turning in his head, Selene, as he's just like processing this, and he goes,
"Well, that makes sense. She knew I'd beat you. This is my reward. She wanted to challenge me, keep me on my toes. I think it's good. She knows I'm ready for the fight."
Grom,
what,
buddy? I say this in the nicest way. This woman paid me to kill you.
Of course she told you that. You needed to believe it.
I mean, I know you're powerful now, but really, had you been alone and had us four ganged up on you, things could have turned out differently. And I won't kill you anymore. You can have all I have. I'm done. I'm done with Ascended Corp. I don't have to work for them anymore. But I don't know what to tell you, man. You better watch out. You can keep working for him if you want, but I'm just telling you, it's a death sentence.
Buddy, you know, it's okay. We've been playing this game for a while. There's no need to try to convince him. You know, Grom, I'm glad we know now that your fight's tomorrow, and it sounds like we gotta get going soon.
Yes, we still have the tickets Avani gave us for the train, so we can catch that back.
It's true. Very true. And at this point, I'm not sure if it's more charitable for me to let you live or die, so...
I mean,
have it your way.
You might as well let me live. I'll just go down to the Underdark, make a new life for myself. Have you heard of the show The Wheel of Umber? I think about trying out for that.
Well, that's fine with me. I'm okay to let you live, but just know that if you ever cross our path again, and there's anything you try to pull like this, you're gonna end up like all our friends.
He nods and he runs off with his little dwarvish legs. And you, Grom, now have a new set of mithril armor. As you're looking over it, it is finally made mithril half plate. Now, mithril armor will make it so that you don't have disadvantage on stealth checks. And this will provide you 15 AC plus your dexterity with a maximum of 2.
Sweet. I'll kind of look at the carnage that the butcher has done.
Aptly earned name at this point.
Go and say,
oh. This reminds me,
and I'll bring around my bag and rummage around in it a bit, and then hold up a shrunken head towards you by the hair and say,
"I got you this."
Did you kill this, Grom?
No. When I was with my mum, I went to a dark market, and they sold me this.
All right, thank you. And I'm just going to take it, and I'm going to...
I also have this, and I'll hold out a severed hand.
I was thinking Aphemia would like it.
Yeah, you know, Aphemia probably has better use for random body parts because she casts spells and things.
That's fair. Yeah. You may like this one as well.
And I'll reach my hand in, and I'll just hold out a coin. I just hold it out to you.
I will take the coin for sure. That's much. Oh, thank you for this. And I will much more eagerly take the coin than the random body parts.
As soon as it exits my hand,
it just. It's very neat. You have to cover it. Otherwise, it does that. but it's good for causing a distraction.
I'm going to jump so hard that I fall backwards, knocked prone.
Yeah. Knocked prone!
Everyone gained a point of inspiration.
No. Yes!
I'm going to roll.
And with that, that's where we're going to end our episode for the night. My name is Cade, the host and dungeon master of this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventure. And I'm joined here by the players to my left.
Alec playing Zag.
Mason playing Grom.
Marissa playing Euphemia.
And your source of inspiration, Brooklyn playing Celine.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. If you love this content, go on over to our Patreon. We have a couple of new things that are coming out. Right now we have something called...
The Himbo's Guide to Spellcasting.
What happens on The Himbo's Guide to Spellcasting?
I'm not very good at this game. So, as I'm playing Knock Prone, I'm learning a ton about being a caster. And in The Himbo's Guide, I tell people about the things I've done wrong and tell them about things that they should know and learn from my mistakes so they can be better when they play.
And I just want to throw out there that they truly are fantastic. As somebody who played a caster for my first time in campaign one and who has high respect now for just casting in general, very, very good. Super entertaining, super short form. I mean, like, they will knock your socks off and you will not regret it.
You.
And hopefully, I think by the time this episode comes out, we will have 3 or 4 up. So that is something to look forward to on our Patreon, patreon.com/knocked. We have tons of other benefits for our tiers on there. So for as little as $2 a month, you could support this podcast and make it even that much better. And we hope that you remember when life knocks you flat on your back, all you got to do is keep rolling. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Powerful is the Cox Network. So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.